Chattanooga hosted an international gathering of more than 1,000 scientists this past weekend with the Tennessee Aquarium Conservation Institute helping to facilitate. I'm speaking with Dr. Anna George, Director and Chief Research Scientist for the Institute.
It was the joint meeting of ichthyologists and herpetologists. What's really fun is that there's four different scientific societies that meet under that banner. So there was the American Elasmobranch Society, the Society for the Study of Amphibians and Reptiles, the Herpetologists League, and the American Society of Ichthyologists and Herpetologists.
That basically is biologists and scientists that study fish and reptiles and amphibians. And the one name I actually had to look up was related to sharks.
Yes, the American Elasmobranch Society. We consider them the coolest of the societies because those are all the people who study sharks and rays, and they just look very dashing, like they've just walked off of a Baywatch set. We get a lot of scientists from all around the world at this conference. Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, Belgium, Germany were just a few of the name badges I saw, and largely from universities at this conference. These are both the scientists and the graduate students they're training, and the students are really fun to have there. They bring a lot of young energy to this conference.
My name is Jennifer Lamb.
I see you're with the University of Southern Mississippi.
I am. This is one of the ASIH's closer meetings, so I was able to come and present my research this afternoon.
What will you be presenting on?
I'm presenting on a mathematical model that's trying to explain where species of stream-breeding salamanders occur.
How many of these conferences have you attended in the past?
This is my first joint meeting conference.
And what do you hope to gain from this besides the prestige of being a presenter?
Really, it's a valuable opportunity for networking and to meet new people from new labs, so to get the kind of curiosity going and questions generated for future research endeavors.
It's not all serious scientific study at the conference.
When you look around the conference, you'll often see really garish shirts that are covered in fish or snakes or turtles. And it's kind of a joke in this society that people wear what they study. It was so funny when I looked out at the plenary session as I was welcoming them, I just saw a field of Hawaiian fish shirts. And so we announced a selfie contest for graduate students that whoever took the most selfies with scientists wearing shirts with fish or reptiles or amphibians on them would win a prize. And our winner posted 129 photos of herself with various scientists. And she said she just had a blast doing it. It was a great way to meet some of these people in the field who may seem a little scary when you're a grad student in your 20s, but when you go up to take your picture with them in their ridiculous Hawaiian shirt, it's a lot easier that way.
The conference opened with a look at freshwater documentaries.
For our plenary address, our keynote speaker this year was Jeremy Monroe with Freshwaters Illustrated. And he's a biologist by training. He has a master's degree in aquatic ecology. But he got really interested in photography while he was in grad school and really started doing a lot of work showing off what was happening under the water. And it's amazing how exciting this is, both to laymen who've never looked under the water with a snorkeling mask on before, but as well as to the scientists. One thing that was amazing for me was looking around the room as he started to show his first video last week, was that many people in the room were actually tearing up. The beauty of what Jeremy was displaying was something that they know about, but they don't always get shown back to them. They suddenly saw this new tool that they could use in classes or in outreach visits to show off everything amazing that's happening under the waters that's normally hidden from our view. It was really nice seeing a room of hardened scientists get brought into the emotional world of art and how we show off the incredible treasures of the Southeast in particular is using both the art, but art that's guided by the scientific understanding.
Jeremy Monroe directs films that are underwater, but much of the story is told above the surface.
One of our big goals is to take people's sort of eyeballs and consciousness a little bit more underwater, but if we don't show what's happening above water, that this is part of a forest or a stream that might be very familiar to you, or it might be maybe even in the middle of an urban or suburban environment, it's hard to make the connection that these are ecosystems that are in sort of our backyard. So that's why we're always trying to sort of connect this biodiversity to the people who study it and to sort of everyone else who can appreciate it, that affects it, that impacts it, and sort of weave this biodiversity into sort of the tapestry of our everyday lives.
You live on the West Coast, but you do a lot of work here in the Appalachian Mountains and on the East Coast. Why?
in our business, which is trying to raise public awareness of freshwater ecosystems and biodiversity, for North America, it doesn't get any more diverse than the southeastern U.S., and especially southern Appalachia. The rivers and streams that drain this region are global hotspots for certain groups of fish, certain groups of salamanders, freshwater mussels, crayfish, and they're just teeming with life. Where I live in Oregon, I can jump in a river and maybe see a dozen species of fish on a good day. I can jump in a river here, you know, just outside Chattanooga, and maybe see 40 species of fish or 50 species of fish, not to mention a dozen or so mussels, crayfish, salamander, turtles. These are really impressive ecosystems. Not only are they national treasures, they're global hotspots of biodiversity.
I noticed in some of your films that I saw at your webpage that there's a big education element in it. It's not just making films of the diversity for posterity's sake, but to protect it and make sure other people know about it.
We're biologists, and we work with biologists, and so our stories usually not only feature these animals, but they feature the people who study them. And so I think naturally what comes out of that are conservation themes. What can we do? What are we doing? We can see a lot of films that might be a little bit gloom and doom about what we're doing to our environment and the species on this planet. But I think when it comes to what inspires us to take action and to do things on behalf of these ecosystems, I think showing positive examples of what people are doing, showing the passion of biologists that is many times contagious and is irresistible, and that it's hard not to care about a hellbender or a snail darter or a softshell turtle after you've spent time with a biologist who dedicates their life to them. Not only is this such a great region for us to work in, Chattanooga's a great town just by the fact that it has one of the world's largest freshwater aquariums and has a great group of biologists involved with it that we work with quite a bit. And also right here we have the Cherokee National Forest, and we have, I think, one of the best examples of a river snorkeling watchable wildlife program right out there that's run by the Forest Service, and also the Tennessee Aquarium does their own trips there. So there's something special happening in this region and right here in Chattanooga that's really putting biodiversity, sustainability, and water resources at the forefront, and I feel like it's just getting started.
A part of that video included where children were snorkeling in the rivers and seeing all these amazing creatures that they didn't even know were right below the surface. And at one point in the documentary, they are asking children what they saw. The response that garnered the most laughs was a shiny fish.
It's true. There's a program that the Forest Service started up just about an hour to the east of Chattanooga in the Conasauga River. You can arrange to go snorkeling with a group, and the Forest Service provides a guide. They provide the wetsuits and the snorkels and a lifeguard. It's a really fun day to start to see some of the things that Jeremy shows off with his videos. He had a short video about this showing a group of middle schoolers from Whitfield County, Georgia, who were out on a snorkeling field trip, and the very end was asking the kids what they saw. And some of the answers were great, a darter, an Alabama shiner, but, you know, there's still the kids who say, I just saw shiny fish, and they're so excited about what's happening in their backyard, which is really what we like to celebrate here, these amazing animals that live here with us in the Southeast that share the water that we use every day. And how important it is for us to educate about those animals, because they're here, they're our neighbors, they're part of our community.
A lot of the biodiversity in the area is monitored, studied, and looked at by your institute. Do you see plans in the future to work with Jeremy Monroe, perhaps directly with the institute, to create some film of your own work?
We would love to work with Jeremy more, and over the past couple of years that I've gotten to know him, we just see more and more opportunities to share the work that we do at the Tennessee Aquarium Conservation Institute with many other people throughout the country, and Jeremy's work is a fabulous way to do that. Being here in Chattanooga, we're very lucky. I get to meet a lot of people and talk to them directly. But through the power of the internet and through the storytelling that Jeremy does through Freshwaters Illustrated, we hope to share it on a much bigger scene, share much more widely how amazing Chattanooga is all across the country, so everyone wants to come visit here.
The biodiversity in the Southeast especially is just phenomenal, but there's still threats in this area.
The Southeast is a worldwide hotspot for aquatic biodiversity. The things we have, from snails and mussels and things that are filtering our water, to the fishes and the turtles, things that we recognize as just absolutely adorable critters, All of those are unparalleled. This is a really great space to live and to work. Unfortunately, like all around the world, we do have our share of problems. We do need to continue to improve things in order to make sure we're using best practices for agriculture so we don't end up in situations like Toledo currently finds itself with water shortages. We have to continually monitor what's happening in our land because it all flows into our water. There's a lot of great organizations that work on this. We have many partners in the region that help us with our work. But what I would love to see is for the Southeast to rise up to the rest of the country and say, what we have matters and we're protecting it here ourselves. This is our watershed. This is our home. And we want to keep it safe.
You can learn more about biodiversity in our region at the Tennessee Aquarium Conservation Institute, found online at tennesseeaquarium.org. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.